In our study of Christ, I want to take us now to looking at His parables. His parables. Somebody has described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. How many know what an illustration is? What's an illustration? It's a what? It's a picture. All righty. It's something that helps us understand something else. Okay? I like to tell stories sometimes, stories of things that I've done in my past or different things like that, stories in the lives of other folks. And what are they for? To help us to understand things, all right? So the Lord, He's got here for us parables or illustrations or picture stories, if you please. And the one we're going to look at tonight is of great importance. And I believe it's of great importance because it is a foundational parable. So let's read that, and I'm going to read a lengthy portion. There's a reason for it. Chapter 13, just remain seated here, and let's look at this. Verse number 1, got your Bible, I hope you do. If you don't, look on with somebody. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Should we practice that tonight? I'm going to sit down and you all stand up. How does that sound? Okay. Notice what it says, verse 3, "And He spake many things in them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell on the or by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, let me go back for just a moment. How many different kinds of ground or soil is mentioned here? Look at it for a moment. How many different kinds? Somebody? Four. All right, four. So we're seeing four different kinds of soil. All righty. If you notice there, some by the wayside, verse number 4, stony places in verse number 5, among the thorns in verse number 7, and then good ground in verse number 8. Now notice what he says. "And the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He says, "Why are you doing this?" "He answered and said to them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Jesus is saying, hey, to you guys, you don't understand this, but these folks who are listening, it's not given to them. That's interesting. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Wow. He's telling us here there's folks who basically, they hear, but they haven't heard. They see, but they haven't seen. It's been spoken to them, but they're not paying attention. And he says, so I'm coming with parables so that you can understand some things, and those who will not pay attention, they're not going to get it. So now he says in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now he's going to explain it to us. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. What is he talking about here tonight? He is talking about how we listen. What are we hearing? What is coming through? And so we're going to look at this tonight, and I hope that you can stop and ask yourself, am I really listening? Am I paying attention? All teaching has foundational truth on which we're going to teach something. There's that from which we build from. For instance, you asked about algebra. The principle of algebra is addition. The basic underlying principle of algebra is addition. You say it is? Yes, it is. It hasn't changed since you started in second grade or first grade. It is addition. You say, well, there's subtraction. Subtraction is nothing more than addition in reverse. You say, well, there's multiplication. It's nothing more than fast addition. Think about it. There's division. Well, that's nothing more than fast subtraction, which is reverse addition. You say, well, listen, preacher, there's X's in this one. X simply stands for a number. You got a question? We'll kill him later. At least he asked. We look at English. I told you a while ago I was not a good English student. But really stop and think about it. English grammar. How many like English grammar? Julie Vector. Yeah, I love English grammar. Really, when you stop and think about it, it really has a basis and has a foundation. And I'm probably going to get this wrong, with a subject and a verb. There's a subject that has the action. Okay? But then that action can be directed someplace. And we call that a direct object. That action can be directed someplace onto some object, but it might be in the direction of something else, and we call that a prepositional phrase. And so you build upon the basic principle there. And we find that the Bible, all the doctrines of the Bible, all those teachings of the Bible has really a place that is the basis of all. Somebody tell me what book that is? A particular book in the Bible called Genesis. And all doctrines can be brought right back to the book of Genesis. And a good understanding of that book is necessary to understand the rest of the Word of God. Now, in our text, we find and we learn an interesting truth. And that is that Jesus veiled His teaching in parables from those who would not believe. We've seen that in the middle parts of this. He's veiling that from those who would not believe. And He wants us to understand something when He comes to giving us the definition, if you please, of this parable. And that is, He wants us to understand that parables teach us some tremendous spiritual principles. In the book of Mark, chapter number 4, actually this is given in three different places, but in the book of Mark it says this, and He said unto them, know ye not this parable, referring to this one of the sower, and He says, and how know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? What He's saying to us in that verse is simply this: we need to have this particular one as the foundation. If we can't understand this one that He gives us the meaning of, how are we going to understand the rest of them? There are well over 50 parables that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to men. Only two of them does he give definition or give us the understanding of it. Both of them are found in chapter 13. And as you look at these and you study these and you look at them in particularly, you're going to notice that every parable then, if it follows what he has given us here, every parable has a central theme and many details that are important. I was taught, however, that you cannot put importance upon details of parables. But Jesus did when he did this. I mean, every detail that he speaks of the four soils, he gives us some understanding of as you get in the last few verses. Interesting scenario there. The parable, I believe, here is trying to do some things for you and for me. I believe he's trying to fulfill some purposes here. One of those is that he's saying, hey, there's four different kinds of soil. The sower goes out, he sows the seed, and he's thrown that seed everywhere. And some of it's going to land on good ground. Some of it's going to be in a good spot. And I believe he's trying to encourage those who are giving the Word of God, hey, keep doing it. Keep doing it. We realize some's going to fall in some other places. Now, you guys, you go out in the farm today, you're going to find that they got their planters and they're going out in the field here in a few months and they got their seed all in their planters and they take the tractor and they go down through and basically they drill a hole, they poke a hole in the soil, a seed drops into there and it just keeps doing that as they're driving along with their tractors. In these days, it was quite different. If you ever come down here when I'm sowing some grass, once in a while there'll be a spot that's a little bit... whatever. I've got a bag of seed in my hand, and I just grab that seed, a big old handful, and just shoo. And I kind of watch how the wind's going, so it kind of just all falls, and so it's kind of scattered all over. And that's the picture he's talking about here. This sower got a bag of seed, he's taking the seed, and he's just throwing it. Now, it seems kind of incredible, but here some of it lands on the roadside. Why in the world would I walk out on Interstate 29 and throw seed on the cement? Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Alrighty. Why would I throw it in a place where there's just a little bit of earth and there's rock underneath it? Why would I do that? Seems like a waste of seed. But God's trying to teach us something, and it's very important for us to understand this. You and I don't know the hearts of the individuals we're giving the seed to. Do I know your heart? No, I can't. Matter of fact, the Bible says, really, you can't. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the Bible says, who can know it? I used to say, if I know my own heart, but I had to stop and think about that a little bit, and I thought, I'm not so sure I can know my own heart. We are such wicked kind of people. I don't know your hearts. I don't know who's listening. I'm not. You know, here's an interesting thing, especially among young people. The guy who's sitting there bored to death, he looks like is actually listening. Sometimes the guy that's sitting there in a class, really, his eyes is glued on you, it really underneath he's sleeping. I could do that. That was me in class. And boy, they'd be talking to me and I had this little smile on my face and they thought, man, he's a great student. I had him fooled. I hadn't the foggiest idea what was going on. And they weren't fooled at test time. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know your heart. What's my job? To cast the seed. So I don't know if you've got a stony heart tonight. I don't know if it's one that's covered with thorns. What's God trying to do? I believe through this parable is trying to encourage me and help us as people who have the gospel to recognize, hey, it's not for me to know, it's for me to scatter. It's for me to give. Listen, every person here, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you have the Word of God, your job is just to scatter to other folks. You have no idea their hearts. I've looked at some guys on occasions, I thought, oh boy, that guy never listened to me. I mean, he's one of these big motorcycle dudes. I mean, look at them. I mean, this guy is, he is something else. And so I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, no, he don't want to hear. And sometimes those guys are nothing but big, gentle giants that are waiting for somebody to say something to them. Many years ago in our church, we had a man who came that was, some of you might remember him, his name was Red. And you remember Red? Red had been one of the original founders of the Hell's Angels. If I understand the story right, there was 87 of them out in Oakland, California many years ago, and he was one of the original founders. Later in life, he gets saved. He attended our church for about 2 years. In those days, I had a motorcycle. And we would, many times, I would get with Red and we'd go for a ride. Sunday evening after church, sometimes he would come by the house and maybe a couple other guys. And back in those days, there was another guy named Lonnie Hager. Matter of fact, Troy Hager, if you know him, was his daddy. And we would take off and ride 40, 50 miles, stop somewhere, they drink coffee. I never drank coffee in those days. And what was amazing was this. Some of the places we stopped at, there would be Hell's Angels people there. Big, mean motorcycle dudes, you know? And because I rode one, because I was with him, it was amazing the conversations I had with these men. Just simply amazing. And they're no different than anybody else. Some of them very lonely. Some of them who really wanted to hear some things. And there's been a few of those guys who've actually gotten saved. And praise the Lord for it. I didn't get to lead anyone, but I've known some of them that have. What are you trying to say? Well, it's basically this. I don't know your heart. God's trying to encourage us to understand there are many kinds of hearts out there. The sower was a sow, the seed, it went all kinds of ground. That always amazes me. I don't know about you, but it just amazes me. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to buy seed and waste it throwing it on Avenue Inn. I'm going to get the rake out and try to rake it out a little bit so there's a little bit of soil so the seeds are going to get down there. Because I know what's happening. Stupid birds come down and start grabbing it. That's exactly what he talks about. So God, I believe, is trying to encourage us. Hey, give the gospel to everybody. I believe something else is to show us the excellence of the Word of God. It can go to any kind of soil. And though it may be rejected, still it can do some work. Even that which was rocky ground. And what that is really talking about is not rocks in it, but I mean just like a solid slab of rock with a little bit of soil on the top of it. And it can start, but it can't go down inside. But what is amazing is that sometimes those roots crack through. Most of you kids haven't done this, go to camp with us. By the way, you young folks, what's our date? June 11th or something like that through the 16th. About to Colorado and go up in the mountains out there to a campground. I've left that camp on a few occasions, driven west about 15 miles through some really windy roads, get onto a gravel road finally, and what looks like you're going to fall off the road, and you come down to the Platte River. The same Platte River that flows across Nebraska, way up in the mountains. And there's a highway that runs right along that river. And in that spot, the river's about as wide as these pews right here. And a lot of folks go up there and fish for trout, and you see them up there and so forth. We was driving along one day, and I looked over, and there's a rock. This rock, if you put it in here, would be about the size of this open area up here on the platform. And right in the middle of this rock is a tree. The tree's about so tall. Where's its roots? They're going down inside that rock. It's telling me when we talk about the seed of the gospel, it is a very powerful seed. Now we talk about the good soil here, and that's what you're really after. But nonetheless, you can see the power and the excellence of the Word of God. I believe also, as we're looking at this parable, it's to reveal to the multitudes. And remember verse number 2? A great multitude was gathered. And what he's trying to say is, just hearing the Word of God is not enough. Because all of these heard, but there's only one soil that it did the job in. And so for you tonight, just sit here and hear it, if you do nothing with it, has no effect. If you do not believe it, if you don't make application of it, it has nothing for you. And so, and by the way, that happens in church. Some people come, they just sit, they don't pay attention, they just endure the time. The only verse that they know in the Bible, he that endureth in the end shall get out of service. Well, it actually says shall be saved, but it's not talking about that. But they don't get it. But also I believe that what he's trying to show us here is that there are very few who are real hearers. Very few who are real hearers. For we find four kinds of soil. Only one is the good soil. And we need to really take stock. A typical study of this parable would be to look at the sower, the seed, and the soil. Four kinds of soil, which takes up the major portion of the parable. And I will deal with the soil at a later date. But tonight I'd like for us to stop and look at the sower and the seed for just a few more minutes. When we come to this parable, if you look at verse number 3, it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Verse number 18 says, "And hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." In the book of Matthew, that's all you read about the sower. You read what he did, but that's all that really says about him. The rest is where he sowed the seed. Really, very little is said about him. I believe that's picturesque. And I believe it's something that we ought to take very good stock of. For oftentimes, we want to laud individuals for what they do for God. Oftentimes, especially men in the ministry, want to talk about the great preachers or the great men of God. I believe we'd be better off if we started talking about the great God of men. Amen. Who are we? Really, stop and think about it. Who are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read some scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse number 4, the church at Corinth was, they were fighting one another. He says, "While one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Then he asks the question, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." And so I look at this and I find very little said about the sower. He's not lauding him. He's not saying how great he is. He's an ordinary individual. And as we look at it, there are two things that he did. One is, it says he went forth. Every one of us can do that. We can go forth with the gospel. By the way, the seed, as we'll find, is the Word of God. Now, the options for him are varied in the soil as far as what is out there. But he went forth to sow. And he sowed everywhere because he did not know the hearts of the individuals we've already talked of. This sower went everywhere. He sowed it on all sorts of places that seem incredibly silly to do. But God wants us to sow His seed everywhere. We have a missionary named Steve Ziner. Steve will be with us in April, by the way, for a missions conference. And Brother Ziner is an unusual character. I first met him when we were students together in Bible college. He later went to Mexico as a missionary. Many, many years ago, there were some of us who went down to Mexico. And you got to understand, Steve was just he's a nut. I mean, we're driving down the road, and he's honking at cows. And we were on this road, I mean, good night, I mean bumpy. You couldn't call them potholes, you'd call them canyons. And I said to him, how fast do you think you can make it down to the corner down there? And he floors it. Troy Hager was in the back of the pickup. He was literally bouncing from the floor to the roof. If you wonder why Troy's off a little bit, that was the reason. He's not here to defend himself. But he can tell you the story. That's the kind of guy he is. But Steve has a heart that's big. And recently he wanted to devise a booklet that could be used to not only teach people about Christ, but actually be helpful to people who are first saved. Last time he's here, he talked to me about it. We discussed it at pretty good length. He had with many other preacher friends. Today he sent me a copy of it via email. 32 pages. He said, in the initial printing, I want to print 100,000 copies. What's the purpose? To sell? No. Give away. 32 pages, keeps it at a spot in little booklet form where it will cost about 10 cents a piece. And we will probably get in on that. I haven't read it yet. I haven't had the time yet because I had to read something else. Anyways, what's the purpose? To sow. There's tracks in the rack out there. I don't like them wasted, but they don't do any good sitting in the rack. They're not to be taken to throw to the wind to sow them that way, but be given to people. Will some of them be thrown away? Oh, yeah. Will some of them stick in their pocket and never read it? Oh, yeah. Will some read it and it's not really pay attention to it? Oh, yeah. Most will be in those categories. But somebody may read it and get saved. And that's what we're talking about. And so he doesn't know the heart. And so he sows. The seed, when we look at the book of Luke, it's very plain. It says the seed is the word of God. Same parable, spoken of a different spot. He says the seed is the word of God. There's much of it. There's enough to go around. When we look at the soil, we immediately realize the impact of that seed. The wayside is there, and the devil is so scared that it might somehow impenetrate that hard surface and that hard heart that the birds come and take it away. He knows the power of the Word of God. Consider that. There's that thin layer of rock, of soil on top of the rock, and a plant can come forth. Given opportunities, I mentioned, it might impregnate itself through that rock. There's a thorn-infested ground. And this seed, by the way, does break through the surface, and it shows its power as it comes forth. All the worldly cares is what it's referring to. Choke it out. And it's a picture of people who they've heard, but they're more interested in what's going on around them. There's a couple of you in here tonight are doing just exactly that. You think I'm blind and dumb. Then there's a good ground, the good soil, that proves the worth of that seed, and it brings forth and yields its bounty. There's the seed. It's the Word of God. It will do its work. We will look at, maybe even Sunday morning, the soil. And it's a picture, by the way, of not just the lost man. It's a picture of what takes place in the church every service. It doesn't say that this is a lost person this seed is going to. It doesn't say that. It's talking about sowing the seed, the Word of God, and the hearer. And so the soil that we look at is very true of the lost man, but it's also very true of those who proclaim to be saved. Stop and consider. Really, Christian, think about it. Hadn't there been some times when you've heard the Word of God and it meant absolutely nothing to you? You were so hard and so indifferent, and Satan came and swooped that thing away? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to look at your Word. I pray that you would cause us to realize how terribly important it is that we sow the seed wherever. Realizing the power of the seed, your Word. Bless in every heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.